For more than 40 years, psychiatrists and other mental health professionals have followed the so-called Goldwater Rule. The rule, in essence, prohibited these professionals from openly speculating or diagnosing public figures like lawmakers with mental health disorders.
And there's a debate currently underway about whether the Goldwater Rule should be amended for our current political climate. Some psychologists have said that the rule is becoming more of a gag order that prevents them from participating in the public discourse, while others say that the ethics of the profession could be undermined by discarding the rule.
Sharon Begley joins us now. She's a senior science writer at Stat News, and she wrote about the Goldwater Rule this week. Sharon, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you. It's good to be with you.
Well, Sharon, let's get a little background on the Goldwater Rule. What exactly is it?
It is named for Barry Goldwater, the senator from Arizona who ran for president in 1964. At the time, there was concern that he might be a little bit too enthusiastic about the nuclear option. And a magazine took it upon itself to poll a number of professionals in mental health, especially psychiatrists. It sent them a survey, and it asked basically, was Senator Goldwater mentally fit to serve as president? And the results were sort of 50-50, but it was regarded as scandalous at the time. And as a result, the American Psychiatric Association, the main professional group, in 1973, nine years later, adopted what's now called the Goldwater Rule, which, as you said, says that it is unethical for a member of the Psychiatric Association to publicly offer a professional opinion about someone's mental health who they have not examined.
And there was a lawsuit as part of this, wasn't there?
There was, and the publication lost. So the psychiatrists themselves were not sued; they were not involved in the lawsuit, but the publication was, and that caused people to sort of back away in fear from offering these public opinions about people's psyche.
Was there anything that you noticed, anything that would point to a particular political climate at the time that Barry Goldwater was running for president that created the special dynamics of what resulted in the Goldwater Rule?
Right. So this, of course, is going back a number of years, but one of the most famous ads during that campaign, and one that has remained as a sort of icon of political advertising, is the so-called Daisy ad. Of course, in '64, Senator Goldwater was running against incumbent President Lyndon Johnson, and again, because there was a sense that Goldwater might lead the country into nuclear war, President Johnson's campaign ran a TV ad in which a little girl was seen pulling, sort of doing a "he loves me, he loves me not" a thing on a daisy, pulling one petal off after another. And in the final frames, there was a mushroom cloud behind her. So it was deemed a very, very effective ad. Some pundits said that it sealed the election for Johnson, who, of course, won in a landslide. But that's emblematic of the kind of discussion that was going on at the time, that Goldwater was so mentally unstable that he would cause a nuclear war.
So after that story unfolded, how did mental health organizations respond? Was it sort of uniform that everyone moved to adopt this, or were there holdouts along the way?
There remain holdouts. The Goldwater Rule was adopted, as I said, in 1973 by the American Psychiatric Association, which now has roughly 35,000 members. It is the country's leading psychiatric association, at least by numbers. There are a number of other professional organizations in this country whose members diagnose and treat mental health and mental disorders. The American Psychological Association, not to get too deep in the weeds here, but psychologists generally do not have an MD. Psychiatry is a medical specialty. You first have to get an MD, and then you specialize in psychiatry. The American Psychoanalytic Association, which is the group in the news this week, a much smaller group. They consist of some psychiatrists, but also some social workers, some psychologists, and others. And then there's also the National Association of Social Workers, again, people who treat, who care for people with mental disorders. So of those big four, only the American Psychiatric Association has adopted and just this past March reaffirmed the Goldwater Rule.
And you published an article this week that caused quite a reaction. It looked at an email sent to members of the American Psychoanalytic Association. And to be clear, this organization, again, different from the American Psychiatric Association. What did that email say as you read it?
Right. So as we were just discussing, the other groups had not formally adopted the Goldwater Rule, but neither had they rejected it. So there had been a sort of implicit assumption that the Goldwater Rule applied to all mental health professionals. You would not be, you know, drummed out of your organization unless it was the American Psychiatric Association. Sorry, there are so many societies and associations running around here, but it was implicit that all mental health professionals would follow it. So what was notable about the psychoanalytic group's notice to members earlier this month was that they took it upon themselves to proactively say, keep in mind, we as an association have not adopted the Goldwater Rule. You are not bound by it, and we are just letting you know that. So what was interesting was it was, you know, as many of the experts described it to me, the first crack in what had been a monolithic wall in which professional groups told mental health professionals, do not comment on the psyche, on the mental health, on the mental state of public figures, unless, of course, you have examined them, in which there's patient confidentiality in play. So that crack in the wall was interesting, especially given the, you know, the times that we live in.
Now, the public affairs director of the American Psychoanalytic Association told National Public Radio that the organization hasn't really changed its stance. Its members were always, it says, able to comment on public figures, but have been cautioned against diagnosing them. That's the distinction they're making. So is there really any kind of shift here? Do you stand by the idea that there's a crack in this monolith?
I definitely do. And the reason is the Psychoanalytic Association could simply have continued on as it was. Again, they had not had the Goldwater Rule, but they took it upon themselves to send this memo, this email, to all of their members saying that, keep in mind, you are not bound by it. And that was a significant step, as it was described to me. One of the past presidents of the Psychoanalytic Association explained that they took the step because they believe that the value of psychoanalytic knowledge, as she put it, is important in explaining human behavior, and they do not want to prohibit their members from using that knowledge responsibly, from engaging, from participating in public discussions. And they felt that it was important to, again, remind their members that that was their stance.
And this Goldwater Rule is at issue again, no matter how you read this email. There was a Dr. Leonard Glass who wrote in, he told the Psychiatric Times that this Goldwater Rule has become even stricter since Donald Trump was elected to office. He says it prevents psychiatrists from offering not just diagnoses, but also offering opinions. And at least this doctor is pushing back against that, saying that this is psychiatrists are a resource in looking at public figures, and in this case, Donald Trump at stake. Do you think this is reigniting a kind of debate about the Goldwater Rule?
It clearly is. And I did speak to Dr. Leonard Glass, who, as you said, publicly resigned from the American Psychiatric Association over the Goldwater Rule. And as you just described him as saying, the association sort of doubled down on the rule this past March. It previously had said the prohibition is against offering a diagnosis of a mental disorder in a public figure, but it went further in saying you can't even comment on what you think might be behind a person's behavior, statements, etc. So that was an expansion of the rule at a time when some psychiatrists, I won't say many, we don't know how many there are, have been expressing their concerns about the rule. And I should insert that those concerns were raised long before Donald Trump announced his candidacy for the presidency, let alone before he was elected. So this is not linked to Trump solely. But again, by expanding what the Goldwater Rule prohibits. The Psychiatric Association was, in the views of some members, imposing a gag order at a time when, you know, the behavior of public officials, including the president, raised questions in the public's mind. And that was another point that several psychiatrists and others brought up with me, that when a public figure is behaving in a way that raises eyebrows, that causes concerns, the public is eager for expert understanding, expert analysis of what might lie behind that behavior. And as Dr. Glass put it to me, by silencing psychiatrists and other mental health professionals, the rule robs the public of their professional judgment, prevents us from communicating our understanding of the president's mental state.
Sharon Begley is with us right now. She's a senior science writer for Stat News, and she's with us to talk about the Goldwater Rule and its place in the current political climate.
And you can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. Do you think that psychologists should be able to comment or analyze public figures such as the president? Do you think people need to hear about potential psychological issues that could be affecting politicians? Or do you think that it stigmatizes people with mental health conditions? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or leave a comment on the Central Time Facebook page.
We'll pick up our conversation in just a bit here on Central Time.
This is Central Time. I'm Judith Sears-Poisson.
And I'm Veronica Rickard, and we're continuing the conversation about the Goldwater Rule. This is a rule that prohibits mental health professionals from commenting on the mental health status of public figures like the president or anyone else in lawmaking or other public spheres. Sharon Begley stays with us. She's a senior science writer for Stat News.
And you can join the conversation by calling 800-642-1234. What do you think of the Goldwater Rule? Do you think it's important for mental health professionals to abstain from diagnosing public figures? Or do you think that it can help the public? Do you think that this could stigmatize people who have mental health issues? Give us a call at 800-642-1234 or leave a comment on the Central Time Facebook page.
And we'll take a caller now. We've got Charlie with us first in Milwaukee. Hi, Charlie.
Hi, thank you. No, the real question would be is how accurate does a psychiatrist or a psychologist feel they could be just by seeing someone's actions and voice or what have you from the TV? You know, they often say that Donald Trump in person is much different than the Donald Trump you see on TV, that he's an actor and that in real life or a real person, he's much more charming and more sane, so to speak. And I guess I would think of it like a dermatologist looking at a picture of someone. Can they reliably diagnose skin cancer just by looking at a photo? If so, that's one thing. It's another thing if, you know, seeing Donald Trump from just a few episodes on TV, is that really the picture that someone feels confident?
Charlie, thank you for that. Yeah, and I imagine that's exactly the terrain that the Goldwater Rule is getting at, Sharon.
Exactly. So a couple of points about that. One is that psychiatry is the only medical specialty that has a rule like this, and I bring that up only because last week I also wrote about Senator John McCain's cancer diagnosis, and there it was no problem at all to get people to comment on what his prognosis might be, et cetera, always with the caveat that they were not the physicians on his case, but they would say things like someone with glioblastoma can expect this, that, or the other thing. So by analogy, what psychiatrists who oppose the Goldwater Rule are arguing is that they should be permitted to say someone who behaves like this might be doing so for these psychological reasons. Very few of them are saying we should be allowed to sit here, you know, 2,000 miles away, watch someone on television and say, oh, yes, he has this defined diagnosis, psychiatric diagnosis. It's more that they would like to offer an informed opinion and even a hypothesis. They would like to be able to say, we think that this is what might be going on, you know, with all humility.
Let's get one more caller in here. Margie joins us next in Milwaukee, and thank you to Charlie as well. Margie, hi.
Hi. Good topic, and I strongly believe that mental health professionals should be able to give some insight because you you have every other expert talking about everything. You have lawyers saying, well, I don't know about this particular situation, but this is what ethics can mean, or this is what whatever can mean. And you talk about if someone famous has a colonoscopy or breast cancer, they're on there discussing in generality what breast cancer is and colonoscopy and things. And you can't treat mental health any differently. It's a medical issue, and if people have questions about somebody's bizarre behavior, why can't somebody that has an awareness of those kind of situations bring it into the discussion? Otherwise, you're ignoring it.
Margie, thank you so much. I appreciate you calling. And what about that point of view, Sharon, that this is very similar to other professions that comment all the time about public happenings and public figures?
Exactly. And those specialty, well, even medical specialties, as I said, no others have that prohibition. So just one other interesting fact. Both the State Department and the CIA employ or consult with psychiatrists and ask them to offer their views, their insights, their analysis of the behaviors and the mental states of foreign figures, foreign leaders. So there's already the sort of stamp of approval from the federal government that this can be done, again, not perfectly, not definitively, but from afar, and that people who do it, who are experts in observing a public figure's behavior, do have something important to offer.
And we leave it there. Sharon, thanks a lot for joining us today. Appreciate your time.
Thank you all. Take care.
Sharon Begley is a senior science writer for Stat News, and she was with us there to talk about the Goldwater Rule, its history, and whether or not it should or could be changed in our current political climate. And you can let us know what you think about the Goldwater Rule prohibiting mental health professionals from diagnosing a public figure from afar. Let us know what you think. Should it stay in place, or is it time to move on? Let us know on the Central Time Facebook page.